Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora a solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.
Browns getting set to take on the Ravens this Sunday, afternoon affair, right here at home, and looking forward to that. The man that will call the game on the Browns Radio Network, your friend and ours, Andrew Siciliano. Hello, my friend. How are you?
Hello, friends. I'm watching Jamie Erdahl here on GMFB from La Plaza Mayor in Spain. I'm like, we should go to Spain. Let's go to Spain.
That was funny. We were just talking about that. We were thinking about taking the show on the road.
They can't have 1 o'clock starts in Spain, can they?
No. I mean, they're the standard European.
You missed my joke.
9:30 Eastern.
Yeah. You missed my Browns with the 1 o'clock game joke.
Oh, I
see what I did there?
I see. Hey, we're not at 1 o'clock this week.
How about that?
Yeah.
A little different. Andrew, I felt your pain. I thank you for sharing your pain. I felt Nathan's pain. How'd they lose to the Jets? I know, 2 kick returns for a touchdown. How'd they lose to the Jets?
We're on the air, right? Was it too much? Was it too much pain?
For you?
No.
I appreciated what you said and the way you handled things. I thought you did a fine job, as always.
Thank you. I'm not asking for a cookie. I want fans to realize it, and I've said this, you know, on Bark Tank, the pod I do on ClevelandBrowns.com, and I've said this in other forums. Like we feel it too. Like, yes, there is certainly going to be positivity sometimes, and we're certainly going to try to put a positive spin on things. But there are moments where there's no positive spin, and you're like, this is not supposed to happen. It's just not supposed to happen. And everyone knows that. Like I'm not taking shots. That was one of those moments where everyone felt the same. The sideline felt the same. The entire building felt the same. And we in the booth and you as fans felt the same. Like, wait, what? This is not supposed to happen. And it's not supposed to happen this way. You're not supposed to, the defense, look, the defense can't have a perfect sheet every day. And at the end of the day, the defense could have gotten off the field. It did not. And the holding penalty on third down where Justin Fields is not even going to throw the ball. And then, you know, a couple of plays later, the fourth down, jumping off sides. Like what made it worse was like Membu and the other Jets guys on the O-line, to their credit, they have every right to dance and celebrate. They did what you've worked all week to do, which is pull the other guy off sides and laugh at him. And that's what they did. And that's what made it hurt even more. So you go into that game saying, hey, we can't be behind the sticks. We can't be third and long. And the very first play of the game is Quinshon for 12 yards over the right side with a hold, and it comes back. And then the last play of the game is Cam Thomas jumping off sides. By the way, Cam Thomas had a sack also, so like there's good and bad. You had a 95-yard possession and touchdown drive on the second possession of the game.
Early.
And then you have plenty of mistakes as well to make you want to pound your head against the wall. You have the 2 kick returns, yet you have the amazing end of the second quarter, everyone run on the field to kick a field goal thing. So, you know, yep.
All right, find me some positives for this week. Let's try to turn this thing on its head. And I mean, I know, look, they're 2-7. There's a lot of negative things to say. Give me some positive things that you're looking forward to this week's game, and let's try to turn the corner. I know it's 2-7, but let's turn the corner.
No. There are plenty of positives here, and actually, I just listed some.
Like, yeah, that's true. You did.
Gabriel had the 95-yard touchdown drive on that second possession. Cedric Tillman almost made a diving one-handed catch down the sideline.
Yeah,
but regardless,
awesome.
You stretched the field and you got a 29-yard DPI out of that. Having him back in the offense, I don't think we talked about when he was gone how much they missed him. He got hurt in the Detroit game, and then we go to London and Dylan starts and Joe was traded. Like that, we kind of forgot, hey, it would really help if you had Cedric Tillman out there. And I think you saw that immediately. I also think the defense played lights. I mean, the defense played as good a game as it has played the entire season last week, but made the two mistakes at the very end. The Jets, Justin Fields completed two passes beyond the line of scrimmage last week, friends. Two for 5 yards. Okay? So, I mean, there is a positive. And let's not forget how well the defense played week two in Baltimore, where they held Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry to a combined 35 yards rushing. 35. And they made Henry fumble. They didn't fall on the fumble, but they made him fumble once as well. So there's plenty good to take from that game. DeAndre Hopkins had that deep shot. Remember, Cam Mitchell, Miles Harden got picked on a lot in that game. Cam Mitchell's no longer here. Miles is, and Miles has stepped up his game since then. But even when they got down to the one-yard line, when they said that Hopkins didn't get in, they kept them out of the end zone from the half-yard line. So there are plenty of positives to carry there. Quinshon had a bust out week two, and that was his first game, and he's running well. He played well last week. So there are positives, certainly.
Dylan Gabriel has had 5 games as the starter. Andrew, I have said, and I truly believe, 5 games is not enough to convince me that a guy can't be a starter in the league. I haven't seen a lot that makes me think he will be a starter in the league. I ask you this, what is a good sample size? What is enough to make a decision on Dylan for the coaching staff this year and maybe even beyond?
It's a great question for which there is no one answer fits all for every situation. I'm not avoiding it, but let's go back to last year, right? Michael Penix, I'll use him as an example, gets in late in December for the Falcons, and man, like, it looks like he's got it, right?
Yeah.
The offense had stalled under Kirk Cousins, like, all right, we see why they took him in the top 10. Like, man, he's got it. Now what? Now you're like, really? Is he? I'm not sure. Caleb Williams, it is weak, and I'm not trying to compare Dylan Gabriel to Caleb Williams. One is a Heisman winner and the number one overall pick. But it's a week in, week out. He's not the guy. Oh, he is the guy. He's not the guy. He is the guy. And he's in year two. So there's no blanket statement that you could say. Like, when the light comes on, you will see it. There have been moments where, like, okay, like, that looks good. I mean, Ronnie gets the pick last week, and one play, 22-yard touchdown. Gabriel had a guy in his face, throws a perfect ball, put a little air underneath it. Jerry came back, fought for the football. Jerry said, I thought he threw a great ball. And you're like, okay, that's the guy. At the same time, listen, I'm with everyone else. I'm curious to see what Shador can do. I don't know that he's ready. If he is, he'll likely get his shot. I'll go back to what Jimmy Haslam said in July, and that is, organizationally, you kind of have to see what both can do, and I think that day will come. I've seen a lot of good from Dylan, but he will tell you, and he did so yesterday on the podium, that the inconsistency is what's killing him and killing everyone.
What'd you think of Tommy last week and his play calling, and did the offense look different, better, same? What'd you think?
I mean, you got Jerry Jeudy the ball. I think you're a little more aggressive. You took that opening early shot downfield. It's not, by the way, as if Kevin hasn't drawn up downfield shots on opening possessions. I mean, whether it was for Deshaun or for Flacco or for Gabriel, there have been times where all of us have been banging our heads the last 2 years going, wait a minute, there's a shot play on the first possession, and it was there, and the quarterback didn't pull the trigger. But last week, he got that one early on the second possession. I like a lot of what Tommy did. And I also, like, let's tip the cap to Tommy right now. Just as you guys were calling, Tommy is on the podium in Berea, and he was asked about that fourth down where they went, you know, had Jeudy in the backfield and kind of went empty then. The fourth and one on the Jets 33 in the fourth quarter where they threw and Gabriel got sacked. And he owned it. He's like, yep. He goes, you want to talk about play calls that I want back?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
You start right there. And when he was pressed as to, you know, what was the play and what went wrong, he's like, I should have run the ball. So give him credit there. He's owning it. It was encouraging. You know, I'm not going to make any grand declarations after only one game, but I certainly think there are things to build on.
We're going to hear that Tommy Rees bite coming up in a little bit here. The situation with Baltimore, Ravens are hot. They're on the way. Browns are not. And I wonder if this is a game where, if it just gets away from them, where this thing goes. And Andrew, on the flip side, I was thinking last week would be the pivotal game of the season. If for some reason they come out and play really well, that spins it again, I think. But man, last week just is to me, it's a gut-wrenching loss, because I do think it changes the way that the season's going to play out. Do you?
I do as well. But again, it's such a week-by-week league. I'll use the Jaguars as an example, because we're all looking at the Jaguars, right? And because the Browns have their pick. Go back 2 weeks ago in Vegas. If Devon Hamilton doesn't get his hand up on that two-point conversion, Raiders win that game. All right, Browns fans are happy. Jaguars lose. Do they trade for Jacoby Myers? I mean, their season feels a lot different. Then they lose again last week. That pick is now number 19. It'll be a lot higher if Devon Hamilton doesn't knock that down. But it changes the course of their season. And one game does the same for the Browns and for the Jets if they were to beat the Ravens. And we should point out, by the way, they've split 6 of 7 years.
Yeah.
The only year the Ravens swept the Browns was, oddly enough, year they went to the playoffs. Browns went to the playoffs and won a game in 2020. So that was the only year the Ravens have swept them, Stefanski's first year. So logic dictates this game is a lot closer than we think right now. If Browns found a way to win it last year, obviously we had just lost Jim, and that game was emotional on so many levels. And, you know, Nathan and I are convinced that, you know, there were other things at play that day for which we were thankful, certainly. I have a feeling, and I'm a Sunday morning optimist always, but I'm feeling more optimistic than others that about this one for reasons that I can't really put a finger on. Partly because of the defense, like everything
just
said.
Yeah. No, I get it. I totally get it. Just give me your general thoughts on this week's game, especially with Lamar Jackson maybe a little bit banged up. And you know, you're back at home. You're playing at least you're not playing at 1 o'clock. You know, you got an afternoon game. Maybe you feel like some eyes are on you. And there's a little different feel.
Yeah. There are some eyes on you. Now, with that said, if you look at the broadcast map, it really isn't. It's going to be a Maryland, D.C., Northeast Ohio kind of feel to the actual people watching the game, because it's obviously being played opposite Kansas City and Denver, and Seattle, L.A., Seattle and the Rams. So those are the two games that are going to go to the most of the nation. We're not going to have that big of a massive broadcast audience.
No, but when there's only a couple games going on and something crazy happens at a game, it's always better for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. No. I see what you're saying there.
Yeah.
I like you guys were joking, Phelps, about 1 o'clock. It's good to be in another window other than 1 o'clock. It does give it a better feel.
Yep.
Absolutely. And I'm not suggesting kickoff time affects the way either team will play. But as much as the Ravens have kind of turned it around the last 3 weeks, it's not as if, you know, they're shutting out the Lions here. right? They've only given up 3 touchdowns in 3 weeks. Kyle Hamilton's playing up in the box now, more of a linebacker than a safety, and their defense certainly does feel better than it did the first half of the year. Roquan is back as well. But I think the Browns can run the ball on this team. I truly do. And they have shown the ability to shut down Derrick Henry. Shutdown's maybe a little bit too strong, but they did it week 2.
Slow him down,
shut him down, whatever it is. And we beat him here last year. So, yeah, I have reasons to think that this game is look, it's going to be, I think, similar to the first half week 2 in Baltimore. It's can you put together a second half?
Fair enough.
Can the offense do enough so that the defense doesn't get worn down in the second half?
All right, I know you need to leave because you're going to start studying for Fact or Fiction on the pregame show. So I just...
Oh, my gosh. Phelps, do you ever listen to Fact or Fiction?
I think he does.
Sunday morning on the University Hospitals Cleveland Browns Radio Network.
I do, Andrew. I feel your pain during that segment.
There is no pain.
Well, it's not about pain. I actually enjoy doing it. My question was going to be,
yes,
how does he get away? And yes, Andy, I'm talking about you in the third person, even though
fine.
I know you're there.
That's fine.
How does he get away with making the whole thing up as he goes?
Welcome to my life, Andrew.
I am a student. I am a student of the Drew Carey School of Whose Line Is It Anyway? And that's basically the format we're using.
The last time Drew Carey walked out there at Huntington Bank Field, the Browns lost by like 700 points in 1999 to the Steelers.
I got news. You're already 700 points in the hole for this week.
It's like,
and Tyvus is now up.
You're a soccer referee in stoppage time.
That is exactly true. In cheating time, that's exactly right.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. Do we give him a corner and let him try to score again? How much time is left? We don't know.
It doesn't matter.
Andrew, has anybody ever actually seen the hockey medal?
Yes.
Tell him. +3? No.
No, he's asking, does the medal actually exist? Tell him.
Again.
Tell him that the medal does exist.
The bad hockey medal.
The medal that I taped over. It was one of my kids' hockey medals.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You did bring that in last year.
Maybe I'll bring back a new one this week.
He took it home with him, even though he didn't win.
You should drive down to Kentucky with us for week 18 against the Bengals.
Ooh, maybe I will.
But bum.
Yeah, and crown a champion in person.
I'm down with it. I'm totally down with it. We just got to ask the boss on that. We'll just figure it out. And when I mean the boss, I mean my wife. Let's be honest about it. Thank you. Okay. Goodbye,
you,
Andrew.
If you go, you have to take my bourbon order with you.
All right, I've got your bourbon order.
That's fine, except I'm not checking bags. Megan, like the heck with that. You think I'm checking bags? Amateurs check bags.
Goodbye, Andrew. I'll see you on Sunday.
Thank you, Andrew.
Peace. 0092. So, you know, press conferences happen. They come and go while we're on the air out in Berea. Normally we cover a couple, not normally, but we'll cover a couple of them live just so you know the information as soon as it happens. Not that you have to wait, but every once in a while somebody says something a little bit interesting. And so what was going on today? I was trying to remember where we're going with that. Because
so Tommy Rees.
That's who it was, Tommy Rees.
Talked to the media. Was asked about any play calls he'd like back.
You talk about a play call you want back. You know, you start there. Had a lot of confidence in the call on third down that we'd pick up the first. Felt like we maybe lost a yard there. And, you know, look, in hindsight, you want to execute those situations. We made an aggressive play call. We didn't work out. They had a good call on defense, and we just didn't execute it at the end of the day. And, you know, those were ones as a play caller that you want to always put your guys in the right position. We were running it pretty good at that point on that drive. So certainly could have handled that differently and executed it differently. So we'll learn from it. I'll learn from it and get better on it.
Still back up at 4th-and-1. It did look like Tillman was open for a first down. Now, is the reason the play call failed because you put the rookie quarterback in position of having to make a play that was not the right time to do it?
Yeah, I should have run the ball. I don't want to get into the specifics of the play itself. You know, you can freeze almost any play, right, and say, hey, this guy's open, this guy's open. Great. I want to make sure I'm putting our players in the right spot. I made a call, an aggressive one. It didn't work, and we got to move on to the next.
First of all, I give him credit. He gave us an honest answer. How many guys are going to turn
actually
on
his answers, doesn't he?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'm just... It doesn't even matter what he said. He gave us an answer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas de DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's. Nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
Should have run the ball. Is that refreshing?
I don't want to make Dan mad. Can I say this?
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
I like listening to him.
Why?
Because I think he actually, you know, he's pretty smart offensive mind, obviously. Is he a great play caller? We don't know.
We'll find out.
We'll find out.
At the NFL level.
But I liked hearing what he had to say there, and he's honest about it. And you know what, Andy? Yeah, I should have run the ball. End of conversation.
It's hard to follow up that, right?
He just put an end to it. It's like, that was the worst play call. Yep, I agree.
The only situation, though, that I think it's interesting is that, you know, other teams can hear that, right? Hear him say that.
Yeah, it doesn't mean he doesn't have to call it the next time.
Or maybe he can turn back and go, yep, I told you that last week because I knew the other teams would be listening, and so now I knew the pass was open. They knew there was no way we were going to run. Although, if you go empty backfield, you're not going to, unless your quarterback's keeping it, right?
You wouldn't think that's the case, but you never know.
No, I give him credit. But when you listen to the whole thing, is there a sense of trust then for his rookie quarterback in what he's talking about?
There's a sense of helping your rookie quarterback succeed. You're trying to set all of these guys up, Andy, to have some success in an offense that hasn't had much of that this year. So I give him credit, and I want to see more. I want to see more. I want to see more of him with Dylan Gabriel. And I don't say that meaning that Kevin Stefanski did a bad job with Dylan Gabriel. Dylan hasn't had a ton of playing time yet. And I want to see if Tommy Reese's approach as a former quarterback might help bring him along a little bit. And we'll see. And, you know, if it doesn't work, then at some point, we'll see Shador, and that's great too, and then hopefully they can help him succeed.
Tommy also had the next point is the way he processes things throughout the game. Is that right?
Dylan, not Tommy, right?
Right, Dylan, sorry.
With any young quarterback, there's going to be ups and downs, and you know, regardless of like, the physical aspect, have you seen through start one through start five that like Dylan's like he's making the right decisions, like his eyes are in the right place, he's seeing things as you guys want him to see it on the field?
Yeah, I mean, we always grade that part of him, and he grades out pretty high. Look, nobody's going to bat 1,000. There's, you know, certainly I don't bat 1,000 calling it. Nobody's going to bat 1,000 in really anything they do, but I would say he grades out where we want him. His, you know, Dylan's prep and where he is mentally for a rookie is really well beyond, you know, he's mature that way, you know, and then we want to make sure that, you know, those things that are happening during the week, we go and execute them on Sundays.
All right.
This guy's really direct.
Yeah, a little processor going on there in his mind, right?
I guess. Which, you know, that's critical. That's one of the... See, this is one of the most important things a rookie quarterback has to learn, has to adapt to, has to overcome, you know, is the ability to process and all that stuff. But let's take it a step further. You can do all that, and you can have the mental part of it down. And if you don't have the physical part of it down, and I don't mean, you know, physical like are you a beast? I mean physical like, okay, can you take all of that and then convert it onto the football field? You know what those guys who can't do that are called, Andy? Coaches.
Yeah.
They're called coaches.
Yeah.
And so we're going to find out if Dylan's going to become a great coach somewhere or if he's going to become a good quarterback somewhere. You know, and the mental part of the game is all well and good. But if you can't do it on the football field, you become a coach.
Well, I can tell you this, somewhere down the road, if he does want to become a coach, he can. There's plenty to learn about blocking out the outside noise for him, right?
True.
Especially here. Dominic's in East Rochester. Hi, Dominic.
Hello, Dominic.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you? You take us off speakerphone. If you're not, if you're driving, leave us on, though.
Are we okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. A little fuzzy, but keep going. Yeah.
All right. Well, I called about the Browns, of course, but a word on that gambling. You know, you had that detective on, and he was saying that nobody does it better than the MLB. Nobody sweeps it under the rug better than MLB, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's your opinion.
Want to start with the Astros, you know, with letting those cheaters off the hook, or Ohtani was another one. So I'm not buying into that the MLB does it the right way. So and you're right about the fact there's something more to this.
It just feels that way. That's all. I mean, and that's not. I mean, we're just. I mean, and we'll find out. That's why we have due process in this country. So
anyway, on the Browns. Listen, I like the coach, but if I hear him say the word "better" one more time, I honest to God, I'm going to become a Steelers fan. And now he's got Tommy saying it too. You know, better, better, better. I mean, I'm sick of hearing better. And as far as the quarterback goes, I know you guys have been saying that, you know, five games is too small a sample size and this and that. Operative word being small. He's too small. He's never going to be any good unless he grows 8 more inches. So there's no hope for this guy. Just plain too small. So,
Dominic, thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm inclined to agree with this. I like 6'4", 6'5" quarterbacks. I like the big guys who can.
I like them when they catch the ball too.
Yeah, I do too. You can't sit here and say that a guy isn't able to do the job. Maybe he will be. I think he's fighting clearly an uphill battle because he's stature-wise not what you want in an NFL quarterback. Still doesn't mean he can't do the job, but we'll find out. Andy, it's too early to bury a young guy who's had success every time he's played football. Too early to bury him. Dano. A
little bit of news coming down. Cavaliers listing Darius Garland, Lonzo Ball, and Jalen Tyson out tonight against the Toronto Raptors. So no Darius Garland, no Lonzo Ball, no Jalen Tyson against the Raptors tonight.
No update, though, on anything with Darius's injury.
No, it's just injury management on the toe. Right.
Let's hope it stays that way and that we don't get anything like, you know, on second thought, this thing's bad.
Sad note to bring along, and I don't know how many of you caught this, what happened 2 days ago now, November 11th. Former Cleveland State basketball coach, Kevin Mackey, who, as I will always remember, back in the late 80s, or mid to late 80s, 86 was the year I was still a fresh, bright-eyed journalist out of Cleveland Heights High School. I don't know, I just graduated from Heights that year, and I just remember the love affair this city had with that Cleveland State basketball team that knocked off Indiana and then got robbed against Navy in the NCAA tournament.
That darn David Robinson.
That was such garbage. If we would have been any other team in the country, we would have won. They wouldn't have. I mean, how do you turn against David Robinson? The Admiral went to go serve his country after. I mean, anyway, but, and I'm still kind of mad about that. It's like,
couldn't tell.
Drive, fumble. David Robinson, Navy. Kevin passed away a couple days ago. And, you know, it's just, when I think of him, obviously there are two big things. You know, one, he put that team on the map. And it was really fun to kind of get into the spirit of the NCAA basketball tournament and have a hometown team, you know, representing you on the big stage and knocking off, you know, the mammoth, the Goliath, and Bobby Knight. And the Indiana Hoosiers. And, you know, I'll always remember off that team, you know, Mouse McFadden, who I thought it was really cool. I was doing when I was at Heights, we did this thing called Make Tracks for the Heights. There's a guy named Ned Weingart that helped us put that together. And they would bring buses of us that went to Heights down to the old, I think it was the Budweiser 500 at the time. And we would run the concession stands. And one of the guys in the concession stand, we were running it, was Mouse McFadden. And I was like, wow, this is so cool. And, you know, and then to watch and see what they were able to do. And, you know, just so many cool players that, you know, were on that team. And I don't know, it was such a special time. And then obviously, you know, He had a little downturn there and was dealing with some addiction problems. And, you know, his career was never the same after that. But, man,
his career almost didn't exist after that.
Yeah, he just brought great joy to Northeast Ohio. That entire team did. And it's really a special moment for any Cleveland sports fan. So, you know, we're saddened by the passing of Kevin Mackey. You covered him a lot more than I did, Jeff. Your thoughts and reflections?
And I say this with complete sincerity. I had the pleasure of covering Kevin Mackey when he was coach at Cleveland State. And we didn't start at Channel 43 until January of 88. So we, you know, it was in Kevin's fifth season, you know, that we started our newscast. And that's when I first met him. And so I covered him for 3 years. He couldn't have been more cordial. He couldn't have been more friendly, more helpful. And I always, always enjoyed dealing with Kevin, and his downfall was crushing. And obviously he had an addiction problem that was completely exposed. You know, he came out of the place where he wasn't supposed to be, and there are police and television cameras waiting for him. And you're not coming back from that one. And he really didn't. He got himself cleaned up. Reports I saw said that he was sober for the last 35 years.
Yeah, Terry Pluto's story today was fantastic.
That's outstanding. Yeah. But Andy, he was a delight to deal with. I mean, friendly, cordial, helpful. His players were always terrific to deal with. And I always felt terrible because I thought, this is a guy who had some real demons and they brought him down. And that to me is a shame. Because the guy that I saw on the TV, you know, getting busted by the Cleveland police, coming out of a crack house in Cleveland, basically, was not the guy I knew, and I just felt terrible. You know what was cool? Later on, years later, he was hired by Larry Bird.
Yeah, Pacers.
When Larry was running the Indiana Pacers to be a scout. And I remember, you know, seeing some interviews with Larry. And Larry said, hey, the guy made a mistake. He's cleaned himself up. He knows basketball. And Kevin scouted for the Pacers for a real long time. And it was as much redemption as a guy who fell from grace as quickly and as fast and far as Kevin did. Redemption is a guy like Larry Bird saying, I want you on my team. And I know it. In talking to Kevin at that time, it meant a ton to him that Larry Bird, you know, hired
thought
him.
That much of him.
Yeah, and you know, think about Larry and his basketball acumen. That Larry felt that way about Kevin Mackey, and it gave Kevin something to salvage the rest of his basketball.
Probably a little Boston bond there too. I mean, I just remember him with his thick accent.
I don't know.
Well, I think that Larry had talked to some folks that in reading Terry's story today, just that, you know, they had kind of said, "Hey, man, this guy really got his life back together, and you might want to take a look at it." And Larry's like, "Oh, okay, yeah, all right, let's do this and make it happen." I'm just wondering your perspective on you know. How he brought, like, I'll always think this
You know, he was only coach at Cleveland State for 7 years.
He was only 37 when he got hired. I didn't realize that until I read the story.
Yeah, the thing about it is he had such an impact on college basketball here.
Yeah.
That you would think he was here longer than 7 years. I don't know if you can draw the correlation to this, but, you know, his first year he was about 500 and then got hot. And then the last 2 years, about 500. And I've always kind of wondered, and did the demons catch up to him and then his team as part of that? Because, you know, they were really hot for a while, and then Kevin went 16-12 and 15-13 in his last 2 years. And I always wonder, was that just the way basketball flows, or might Kevin not have been paying as much attention to what he was doing because of the demons that he was fighting? Or maybe not fighting.
That's why I always look at it, and I don't know if, I'd be interested to get a different perspective. Dan, when I think about college basketball in Northeast Ohio, I always think of it as a sleeping giant because of that team, because of what we saw and we witnessed in just kind of a couple weekends here, that You know, and even the fact that the Wolstein Center was built the way it was, like Cleveland State probably had to think, and as a Cleveland State guy, right? You had to think at one time Cleveland State thought, you know what, if we can put a basketball team together that's good enough, we might be able to fill that arena. And so it was built
under Mike Boyd, the man who took over for Kevin.
Right. So don't you feel like someone somewhere along the way thought that, you know what, maybe someone could do it? It's so odd to me that when I went to Columbus, I would look at covering college basketball. Obviously, it was big in Columbus because there was no NBA team. But the way, and maybe it's because there's no NBA team down in Southern Ohio. I mean, you look at college basketball in the Cincinnati, Dayton area.
It's a different deal.
Yeah. It's totally different. Dayton, UC, Xavier. Like, you know, and then they're close to Indiana. They're close to Kentucky. And so you get that there's just so much more of a college basketball feel down there than there is here. And might be because of the Cavs, right?
Well, it's two different games and it's two different fan bases. And it's... that's one reason it's been tough, I think, for college basketball to go like crazy here. We've got terrific Mid-American Conference basketball with Akron and with Kent State. But Cleveland State, that group really, really got it going.
Hmm. I mean, your perspective on it, because, I mean, there was something magical about that year, and it was so cool. I'm sitting here today.
I was working in Texas, loving every minute of it.
Right.
And I didn't know anything about Cleveland State. I just knew it was Cleveland.
But there was just something magical about, you know, this team that Kevin Mackey had put together, and you know, it still to this day drives me to think that, man, if we ever got a really good college basketball team that could again pursue in the NCAA tournament and get to the Final Four, man, this place would go crazy.
Who knows?
Not to cut you off, we saw that with Kent State when they went to the Elite Eight. You could kind of feel that same thing. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I don't. It's all good. Who knows? I have no idea if it would take off in the way that everybody thought. I have no idea, especially with the one and done now. I have no idea. You would think this would open the door more if they get one together with the way that seniors are now succeeding far, far more in the NCAA tournament than they used to. You're seeing a lot of older teams make a difference. That's usually where Cleveland State comes in and does well. I have no idea if it's a sleeping giant. I feel like it may have risen by now if maybe that is the case. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know how even Cleveland State looks at it. Hmm. Thinks to themselves. I mean, now they're playing over in Public Hall.
Oh, Public Hall. Yeah.
Yeah, they're playing at Public Hall now. You know, trying to figure out what to do there. And I mean, it's awesome to watch a game at Public Hall. Everybody should go down and either watch Cleveland State or the Cleveland Charge at some point, because watching a game at Public Hall is cool.
Which is where they used to
the floor.
Yeah.
Which is where they used to play when Kevin Mackey was here.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen, I have an Emmanuel Classe update if you'd like.
Oh, yeah, let's hear it.
According to David Purdom of ESPN, Emmanuel Classe arrived at JFK Airport this morning from the Dominican Republic, was arrested by FBI agents per the Eastern District of New York. He will be arraigned at 2 p.m. So Emmanuel Classe, back in the United States, was arrested at JFK, arraigned at 2 p.m. today.
Kidoki.
We'll see how this thing plays out. Plenty more to...
Can you imagine either one of these guys ever playing in the majors again?
Oh, no, that I don't see.
Yeah, I don't either.
That I don't see.
I don't either.
No.
Especially Classe.
Oh, what a wasted career. Just...
Yep. at least from all that we've heard about the involvement of the two.
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora a solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.